Turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm going to read the full chapter. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succah, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succah and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had bronze armor on his legs, and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield-bearer went before him. And he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. And as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And he returned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. He took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted, and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sherem, even as far as Gath and Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite." The last time we had looked at 1 Samuel chapter 16 with David, the first time we see him mentioned on the scene, and Saul, Samuel had anointed him, and he was to be king. And we saw a number of lessons we could learn in the attributes of David and what we could learn from that. So we'll look at this chapter today. I know that was a long passage to read, but we'll take a look at these verses too. So to kind of set the scene in chapter 17, there are these two armies on opposite sides. So they're on a hill, they're each on hills, and there's a big valley in between them. And that was probably good for the army of Israel, because the Philistines were a very powerful army, and they had chariots, and they had a number of different things that could be used in battle. But those aren't very good on cliffs and high hills and things like that. So this was probably an advantageous spot for this to happen. And then in verse 4, so we can picture all these armies are on the hill all around, and there's this valley in the middle. And there's this champion that goes out. His name is Goliath, as we would know. But that word in verse 4, that word champion, it actually means a man who is a go-between. That's what has the connotation. So what Goliath's job was, and this has probably happened many times before, he would basically fight in this way on the behalf of the Philistines. And as he lists in his challenge in the following verses, they would basically fight one person against one person, and that champion, as he probably had done so many times before, would basically decide the outcome of this battle. So that's kind of the setup here in these first beginning verses. In the following verses, in verse 5, it kind of goes into detail of how massive this person of Goliath is. So he's the 6 cubits in a span is about 9 feet 9 inches. So if you can imagine that, it's 3 inches lower than the rim on a basketball hoop. That's how high he's standing. He is wearing a coat of mail, which is about 100 to 120 pounds that he's wearing. He has a spear, another 15 to 20 pounds that he has in his hand. He has a javelin, it says, between his shoulders. So what he would have this javelin, would be on like a sheath on his back. He'd have this javelin in case he would need that. And he had this, a spear was like a weaver's beam. And this phrase, the weaver's beam, is mentioned a few times in scripture. And it all has to do with giants. So you can follow that phrase, a weaver's beam. It's mentioned with David's mighty men later on. It's mentioned a number of other times. But a weaver's beam is basically what, when they would weave different tapestries and things like that, basically the big support on the top that would be used. And it was very thick and it was very heavy and it was used as a big support. So you can just imagine all of this detail that's given to show how massive that Goliath really is. He has this armor on his legs, kind of like shin guards, it's mentioned here. And then in front he has a shield bearer. So there would be a massive shield. He wouldn't be able to hold the shield of this size and fight. So he would have a shield bearer that would go before him, kind of stand in front of him, and that's who he would rely on in that way. It wasn't a buckler, which is like a small shield, maybe about this size when you're using close combat. He would have a large shield that the shield bearer would hold in front of him. That's kind of the setup here. And he issues this challenge in the following verses, verses 8 and 9. And in verse 10, he says, he defies the armies of Israel this day. And that word defy, it's a challenge. It's something where you openly resist something else. So he was openly resisting not only the armies of Israel, but also God. It says later on, it says actually of him, that he's defying the armies of the living God. And we come to verse 11, and as we had learned last time, Saul was made king. He was head and shoulders above everyone else in the land of Israel. And Saul and all the army, they are dismayed and greatly afraid. So I can only imagine if there's the biggest and best of the Philistines coming to say, give me someone, give me your best to fight against me, Saul would have been the logical one who would have been chosen to fight. But he, along with everyone else, is very afraid, dismayed, and he does not step up in this situation. He would have been the logical one who would have been stepped forward to fight. And then we get a little glimpse in the next few verses of where David has been since we last saw him in chapter 16. David had been chosen by Saul to play and give him peace when he was troubled. He was excellent at singing and playing, so he would go and play for the king. Verse 15, he would return from Saul. Sometimes he would still keep his father's sheep. He was very responsible. We find that David, any responsibility he was given here in these chapters, he would carry it out. He was very faithful in that way. And he gets sent to deliver supplies to the army. His brothers are there, and his father sends him in verse 17 to send this there. So verse 20, we see David arises early in the morning. He takes his responsibilities very seriously. He leaves his sheep with a keeper. That's part of his responsibility. He carries it out. No matter all these different things he is given, he makes sure to still carry out his responsibilities. And he comes in verse 22, and everything that he was given, he passes along to the right person. He gives all the supplies to the supply keeper. We can see how faithful David was with the instructions of his father, his responsibilities to Saul, He was very faithful in all that he did here in this chapter. But David comes to a scene that he, I'm sure, was not expecting to see. Back in verse 16, it said, "The Philistine drew near and shown himself for 40 days. 40 days, the number 40 is kind of a testing period in Scripture, right? So there was a test every day for 40 days for the people of Israel, and no one stepped up, no one did anything about it. They were failing that test every single day of those 40 days. And David comes, and it was just about that time when Goliath would come out and keep cursing those people of Israel. He would keep challenging them, and no one seemed to do anything. In verse 24, we see that everyone was still dreadfully afraid, and they would actually flee. So every day they'd be set up in a battle, one on one side of the hill and the other. Goliath would come out, and not only would they not do anything, they would actually run away on the other side of the mountain there. And they begin talking amongst themselves, these other soldiers, in verse 25, all the things that the king will give them for whoever would be able to fight Goliath or slay Goliath. Saul had to offer all these different things because no one was able to do it on their own, or no one was going to do it on their own. And the reward is actually very great. But then we notice the first things that David says, all the way down in verse 26, it seems he was just listening. He was observing for the few verses before. In verse 26, he says, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach for Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He asks what will be done, but he's not really concerned with what the physical things that he would get or whoever. He's wondering why is no one taking away this reproach from Israel? He's worried about this person who's defying the armies of the living God. He's really worried about people who would be defaming God. That's what he's most worried about. This person, this Philistine, had to be dealt with. And that's the first question he asks when he gets there. Then we meet his brother Eliab in the next few verses. An interesting interaction. His brother is upset with him for coming. Not only was it just David's responsibility to go and bring these supplies, but he hadn't really done anything wrong. So I would wonder, maybe with David's questions, maybe Eliab felt in his heart, he felt a little convicted. We read Eliab was probably he was the oldest son, but he might have been the biggest, the strongest. We read in chapter 16 that when Samuel saw him, he was like, oh, for sure, this is going to be the king. He's a really good, strong young man. Eliab says to David in verse 28, "Why did you come down here, and with whom have you left your sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and insolence of heart, for you have come down to see the battle." It's almost that Eliab felt challenged or somehow upset with this whole situation. He wrongfully questioned David's responsibility. Oh, did you actually remember the sheep you left over there? Of course he did. He was responsible in all these things. But David is essentially asking, why has no one fought? And maybe Eliab felt a little convicted about it. Or he probably knew David was right, but he himself hadn't done anything. Verse 29, David responds and says, "Isn't there a reason why I'm saying this? Don't you know why we have to do this?" And he, as he's talking to others around, and basically the word comes back to Saul in verse 31 about this, and Saul sends for David, and he might have been surprised. This is who's asking about all these things. David comes before Saul, who he had met before, and initially says, "You're not able to go against him, for you are a youth, and essentially Goliath has been fighting longer than you've been alive." Verse 33. David gives his own personal account, as was referenced last time, of how he had these tests before, when he's been keeping his responsibility with the sheep, the lion, and the bear. He took them on, and he defeated them. But not really did he defeat them. The Lord delivered them into his hand. So if the Lord wanted him to do something, or if the Lord wanted something to be done, it would happen, is the the bottom line of those verses 34 to 37. And Saul eventually says, okay, the Lord be with you. Hopefully he'll protect you. And he gives David his armor. And he puts him in this armor. Saul's like, okay, well, I guess if you're going to go, I'll at least do my part and give you some protection. But we read here, it's often thought that it might have been too big for David and he just didn't fit. And that could have been. But really, it says it very plainly in these verses that he hadn't tested them. David wasn't used to fighting this way. He never had to use this equipment or this protection before, and he hadn't tested them. Or maybe he had, he was familiar, but this specific set of equipment he might not have been comfortable with. So he immediately took them off, and he trusted the Lord that he would deliver him. He had all this confidence from past experience, and the Lord had provided for him all these other years too. And we see that now he's heading towards the giant. There was a brook, so maybe the brook was kind of on the way down into the middle of this valley, and he takes the 5 smooth stones, and we see the Philistine coming towards them, so they're kind of walking towards each other, and there's still this man who's carrying the shield before him. So we always see these pictures sometimes of just David and Goliath, but still there's a shield bearer there. And maybe I can just say too that we should probably carry our own shield, right? Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 6, we have a shield. It wasn't this shield, it was more of a buckler. But the shield of faith, we have our own faith, right? We should rest on that. Goliath had someone else who was carrying this shield for him. And Goliath starts to curse David now. David specifically, saying, is he a dog? A dog, dogs were very low animals at that time. They were they would just run around loose all over town, and they were very lowly regarded. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. This is Goliath's gods. He's cursing David with those gods. And he says, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David recounts what will happen here. He says what will happen before it does. He says, the Lord of hosts, he will fight for me. You have all these... you have all this equipment, all these weapons, but I have the Lord, and he's going to deliver you into my hand. And then he repeats back the words that Goliath said. Goliath had said, I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David says, the Lord is going to give the entire Philistine army into the beasts of the air and the beasts of the field. And then it's interesting here, the reason he's going to do this, David has such confidence in the Lord, is so that all the earth, in verse 46 at the end, all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. It's going to be a sign to everyone, to the whole earth, that there is a God in Israel. But not only that, verse 47, all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword or spear. This is referring to Israel. The Israelites needed to know that the God, that there was a God who would save them, that he doesn't work as we would want, as we think he would sometimes. The assembly needed to know that the Lord works in this way. They are the ones who wanted a king, and the Lord allowed it to happen, but they still needed to learn a lesson too. And how often we need reminders as well about how things ought to be, how we ought to trust in him further. And then at the end of verse 47, it lists, he will give you into our hands. David's not taking any credit for himself, not my hands. It's our hands, the Lord with the Israelites, everyone. And now verse 48, we read it already, but kind of recount what happens here with the sling and stone. And if you bear with me for 2 minutes, I was reading this again recently, and I was wondering to myself, from a physics perspective, how... So we know how the story goes. David has the sling, and he slings it, and the stone hits Goliath in the forehead, we read. But then we read that Goliath actually falls flat on his face. So if they're running towards each other, and David slings him with a stone and hits him in the head, the physics of it would say he would fall backwards. But it actually says he falls down on his face. So I kind of... was trying to understand why that might be. And I came across an explanation what this might mean. It's just a suggestion. The word for forehead in verse 49 can actually be translated possibly a different way. It might actually be a different form of the word for greaves or shin guards in verse 6. It actually might be a Hebrew word. I've seen it in a number of sources. It might actually be termed shin guard instead of forehead. And what this would mean is that David may have actually slung the stone, might have hit Goliath actually in the knee. And what it would have done, slinging a stone that fast, probably 100 to 130 miles per hour would be how fast they could sling stones. This would actually, as Goliath would be coming towards David, basically shatter the kneecap. There would be an opening there where above the shin guard and below the rest of the uniform, where there would be an open spot. And basically what would happen is, as they were walking towards each other, Goliath's leg would give out, and that's how he might have stumbled forward and fallen on his face. He could have just stumbled also after getting hit in the forehead, but I thought this was an interesting take, and I'd share it with you. The other part of it too is the Philistine army would wear these helmets, and the helmet would have a full covering of the head, and it would come down and actually cover part of the face in the middle, down to the nose. So for a stone to be slung and actually lodge in the forehead, it would somehow have to go through the entire helmet first. Not that this matters to the end of the story, but I would just propose this as another possible explanation. There might be those who would question, how is this even possible? The physics don't work. How would this even happen, that this small person could take down this large giant? But there would be, it seems like there might be this explanation as well, perhaps. We come to the end of the story, and David does conquer the giant either way, no matter how it happened, and he does win the battle. And that's truly the biggest takeaway to take from this whole passage. The Lord provided, he strengthened David, he was able to use him, and really it was the army of Israel, entirely Saul and everyone else, who needed to be reminded that the Lord could provide for them in this way. The final verses have this interaction between Saul and Abner, his army commander, and he asks, who is this person? There's a number of reasons why he might have said this. Maybe he, as we know, his mind seems to deteriorate, Saul's does, as he would go on. So maybe he truly didn't know who this person was, he forgot, or whatever it is. Or he maybe wanted to know whose family he was from for tax purposes. There was this promise he had given. Or maybe he already felt rivaled by this person. Maybe he already felt like someone was already trying to upstage him a little bit. But for whatever reason, we find David answers, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And that is the answer that's given there. So I just close with this, that all these things that are throughout, we can see David was responsible in all things. He trusted the Lord in all things. He had this confidence from past experience. He knew the Lord was with him all along the way and that he would provide for him. And we can see how the people of Israel and others, other characters we meet in this story, needed a reminder too about all this. As David had said, the Lord would do this. He did that. All the army was defeated. They were all running back to their cities in Philistia, and they all there were those who died along the way, and they were delivered into the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. We can trust what the Lord would say. We can have utmost confidence in Him, no matter what situations would come upon us. Let's just close in prayer. God and Father, we are thankful for your word and how we can trust it and how we can learn from it, from examples throughout the scripture. Thankful for this example of David. May we be as responsible as he is in each step of the responsibilities he was given. May we be like that, and may we be also be reminded that you are able to do what you say. We can trust in you throughout our situations, whether they are large or small, that we can trust you for all things. We just would ask for your help as we would consider these thoughts. We would think of this week ahead. Just give each one of us help and strength, and watch over each one of us as we would continue to live our lives for you this week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.